As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to a season-ending edition of the Warriors Holiday 2 Warriors Plus Minus podcast. I'm here with Tim Kawakami, deep in Golden 1 Center. April 16th is the end of the Warriors season, and I'm sure we'll have more podcasts. We got exit interviews tomorrow as early as 10 a.m., but we kind of wanted to at least do a quick one.
I closed the door on the season. It was loud in the corridor. We're in the visiting team coach's locker room right now recording this, and there was a loud cart on the other side, so that was me closing the door. And yeah, this season is so done that Marcus just got the hell out of here. He's writing elsewhere. But I'm hanging out, hanging tough in Sacramento. Just finished my column. I'll post tomorrow morning. Warriors season is done. That was they just got blown off the floor. And if you had to have a game that showed that they were old and slow and small, and it's not like the Kings are a huge team, they got completely boat raced by a younger, faster, more athletic team. I talked to Kerr a little bit about it afterwards, like, you gotta get more athletic. Because yes we do, you know, there's no strong idea how they do it, but I did think, you know, Kuminga, Pajemski, and Moody, three of their youngest players in the rotation, were the three that seemed to be at speed for a time, but obviously not enough to win this game. And, you know, they weren't skilled enough. You know, the Kings have young players who are skilled. Keegan Murray, pretty freaking skilled player. De'Aaron Fox, skilled player. I don't know how the Warriors get players like that, but they got to do it. You know, put them around Curry and Draymond and see where they go. And we'll talk about Klay, obviously. But this was a team that couldn't bring the ball up, that couldn't, you know, stay in front of the Kings, and couldn't score when, you know, Steph Curry was getting blitzed and there just were no other offensive options.
Yeah, you know, I think if this was just like game one of the 3-6 series last year, where, by the way, they lost here, they went down 2-0, as we all remember.
No, we got stomped this time, though.
Yeah, for sure. But I think wider scope, it's a detriment to their entire season and how it went and how it started with the veterans in deep slumps, the giveaways late in games, the Draymond Green suspensions, and the way they had to rearrange things. The fact, you know, yes, they won plenty of games. The West is so loaded that 46 wins was going to get you a 10 seed. And I just, the fatiguing nature of it, I think one of the things that probably is not getting talked about as much as I think it probably should. Like, Steph Curry really, by his standards, wasn't great for a couple months now.
He looked tired tonight, yeah. I thought he looked tired tonight.
Too. And that's because he had to play 70-something games this year. He couldn't rest back-to-backs. They couldn't just give games away. He had to, you know, deal with some of the off-court stuff and just some of the burden stuff. And, you know, some of it's roster construction. Some of it's just, like, the unfortunate nature of how things kind of tumbled to this point. And some of it's age, by the way. You know, he's turned 36.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kerr has a good point. Like, you know, he kept saying the 46 wins would normally be the 5 or 6 seed in the West. It just happens to be a year when the West was really good. But guess what? Most of those teams are younger than you. So they're not going away. And a couple teams behind you are a lot younger. The Houston Rockets and the Victor Wembanyama San Antonio Spurs are coming.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant back for a full season. Like, this is not going to get any easier. In fact, it's going to get tougher as the Warriors prime guys, main guys, age another year out of their primes. They have to change this roster. But what I wrote about tonight was Klay Thompson, 0-10, obviously free agent. We know that this is a major question hanging over this team. Marcus tweeted it, and I agree. Like, actually, this might help Klay come back to the Warriors. Now, whether that's good for the Warriors or not, I don't know. If he comes back to the Warriors, it has to be at a lower salary. He cannot be a projected starter. I'm saying that right now. He cannot be someone they're saying is going to play 35 minutes a game. There might be times when he does play 35. He has to be Reggie Miller at the end. He has to be somebody you get shooting from, and that's great if he makes a shot. If not, he plays 18 minutes. It cannot be a main factor because we saw what the Kings did to him tonight. I mean, they just went right past him. He couldn't grab the ball. This is not just Klay. I don't want to be ripping him. He wasn't the worst Warrior. Andrew Wiggins might have been the worst Warrior. But it's just not a guy you can throw out there in a game like this. And, it, you know, he misses a couple shots, and it's trouble. It's not a great – he was the greatest compliment to Steph Curry in the history of the world for – 12 years or whatever, he's not anymore. So if he comes back, it's got to be on a price that is equivalent to what he would be valuable to them, you know, if they want to make the best basketball team. And that might not be what he wants. Might not be what somebody else offers. And so then instead of, like, you know, the Warriors giving him a sentimental deal, maybe it's the other way. Does Klay give the Warriors a sentimental deal that isn't $27 million a year? You know, what if it's 18 a year for 2 years?
Something then I think
like
you might be gone.
Yeah. No, you know? Then he might be gone. And that's okay. Like, that's at some point the Warriors said, okay, we made an effort, and Klay isn't that guy anymore, and we tried. As Draymond said, they've done right by him. They've done right by Steph. Make Klay a legitimate offer, and if he takes another team's offer, that's fine. Then that's the end of Klay with the Warriors.
Yeah. And, you know, Klay showed a lot in the last couple of months and played 70-something games, and I think was third or fourth in the league in threes the year after he was tops in the league in threes. And he did accept a bench role, which I think was important. And if he does come back, it was important for him to show that that was something he would do.
Also important to other teams.
Yes, right. Yes. And I think he will have a market because of his shooting. And, you know, Steve Kerr mentioned how much they need him tonight, and part of that was, like, this floor spacing, you know? I mean, that's imperative in this league, and not many people have the offensive gravity off the ball that he does. Now he comes with other stuff, shot selection, declining defense, a championship personality, which can cut both ways, you know, competitive defensively still, even if he's lost some of it. But, you know, I don't think he's necessarily felt the love in the negotiations or non-negotiations from the Warriors all season because, you know, at any point, including tomorrow, including last week, including a month from now, like, he can get extended. Harrison Barnes got extended before he hit free agency last year by his incumbent, and maybe that does happen. But I do think it's one of these, like, I think it's going to be known by July 1st if he's gone or not. Maybe well before that.
You know, who knows? It's right after the game. It's Kerr talking, you know. It's Kerr talking after his podium. It's, you know, Draymond. You know, it's Steph. It wasn't Klay. Klay didn't talk. He wasn't asked to go to the podium.
He's
supposed
to talk tomorrow.
He's supposed to talk tomorrow, which is fine. Understandable. I didn't even see him in the locker room. People did see him
there. I heard he bolted quick.
Yeah, he wasn't going to talk. But he will talk tomorrow, and that's fine. I think it's more likely that he comes back to the Warriors after this performance than it was before. I just, like, let's say it's Orlando Magic. If you're the Orlando Magic, I'm not saying one game matters over the whole scope, but you look at 3-for-19 last in game 6 last year, and you look 0-for-10. You see Harrison Barnes just smoking him on the post in this game. Do you say he's worth $32 million a year?
32, no, but, you know, I don't think we're talking that range.
28?
Maybe, you know, as you get down and you know, what else is on the market? You know, Fred VanVleet got like 40.
Yeah.
You know, Dylan Brooks got 20-something, you know.
We'll see. Again, it's up to Klay. I mean, Draymond said it's going to be up to Klay because the Warriors aren't offering him 30. You know, they're not offering him 26. They're not. They shouldn't, frankly. But they should offer him 20, you know, 18, 18 and 20, 2 years, 38. And if he turns it down, that's entirely Klay's right. The Warriors can't get better if they're paying Klay Thompson $35 million. Cannot. That this is what they'll be again. They'll be worse than this if they're paying him that much. Because I don't think Chris Paul's coming back. You might have insight into that, Anthony Slater. But they cannot pay these older players who can't play defense that kind of money anymore. They want Klay back. In many ways, they need Klay back for the culture, for the attitude. But they also cannot pay him $28 million because then this is what they're going to get.
Yeah, those negotiations are going to be very interesting.
Might be fast, what like you said. Might be really fast.
Yeah, what he says tomorrow might be interesting.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I wrote about Paul. I talked to him at Shoot Around, just kind of about his season and his future. He's going to turn 39 next month. We actually have the same birthday, randomly, May 6th.
You're not
39. No, you're right. And just finished his 19th NBA season. He's going to play a 20th NBA season. Maybe beyond that, he's not ready to just, like, give a number. This is how many seasons left. But he said, I know this isn't it, you know. But, and part of that is he still believes he's got a lot left. He still believes he has, you know, starting capabilities, high, you know, big role capabilities. And it's an interesting, I don't know, like juxtaposition, whatever you want to call it. Like, he really, really liked his season here. He really liked playing under Steve Kerr. He really liked how much he saw his family because of not only the proximity, but, I mean, and we know this from past Warriors people, they allow family members on the plane. We see them down in the the practice facility, post game, you know, little Chris Paul's shooting jumpers, and he enjoyed the living a floor above Draymond Green and going and watching football and basketball games and like picking each other's brains about basketball. I think he really enjoyed the co-star, we can call it co-star relationship with Steph Curry. We'll say where, you know, in the past, we know some of the players he's played with, the relationships he does and doesn't have from his past, you know, teams. So I think so much of the Warriors experience he liked. Sorry. So much of the Warriors experience he liked, but he doesn't want to play 18 minutes a game. He doesn't just want to be a backup point guard. He doesn't just want to be, you know, kind of confined to, at times, eighth, ninth man. And we saw it tonight. Steve Kerr talked about it post-game that just like he said, hey, he's one of our best players. But Steph is our best player. Clay's one of our best players. It's clear it's, like, tough for them. I mean, we saw it again tonight. They just can't put that many lineups out there together. I believe Steve Kerr used a term like, this is just a bad roster construction for a Chris Paul.
Yeah. You can see it. You can see it. It's been bad all year. They may do, and I think you're right. CP's played well, but he is small, and he is not the same lateral movement, same as Clay, you know. older than Clay, not the leg surgeries. It's just hard to put a lineup out there that doesn't get buzzed around when Chris Paul's on it, and certainly when Chris Paul and when Clay Thompson are on it together. People got mad at me when I said that after the New Orleans game, but they could not keep up with New Orleans, those two guys. Or the Jazz, I think it was even. Like, just when it was zipping all over the place. It's weird to say it wasn't a fit because I thought he was a fit in a lot of ways. He's not a fit for the future of this team. Now, they're going to have to go get somebody who can do this stuff. But
would you think if it was on, like, mid-level?
Yeah, but they're not getting Chris Paul at the mid-level. You know, he wouldn't probably want, you know, it'd be 18 minutes. Like, even then, I think 22 is too much for him, 26. He was having trouble bringing the ball up. Now, so was Steph. Like, they had trouble bringing the ball up against the Kings, and this wasn't the only time they've had trouble bringing the ball up. They had major trouble bringing the ball up against New Orleans. You notice it was like Wiggins and Kuminga were bringing it up because Paul and Steph couldn't do it. They were having Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis just poke the ball away and going right back, pick six the other way. This happens to older players. I just don't think they can have – they need a quick point guard, right? They need somebody with athleticism and turn the corner and scares the defense. I don't know who that is, Lester Quinones. I mean, I'm probably not Lester Quinones, but these guys aren't just not readily available. But it's if I had to say, I think CP in his own way was too similar to Steph – Clay, Draymond, like, he was too much the same kind of player, and they're not good enough to keep adding that player anymore. They need a different kind of younger, athletic speed player. So as good as he was, and I do think he was good, it's too much overlap with Chris Paul and Steph Curry and Clay Thompson and Draymond Green and some of their other players. Przemski, not the most athletic player in the world. I don't know how they're going to replace them. I just know that they probably have to.
Yeah, and I mean, there's other question marks on this roster. You know, Kevon Looney has $3 million of his $8 million guaranteed for next year. He's vulnerable. Gary Payton II doesn't play because of a calf injury. His availability's been very up and down since he's been back via trade. He has a player option for next season that he's likely to pick up. Andrew Wiggins, you mentioned he's a minus 25 tonight. Mostly outplayed by the Kings wings. where is the path for them to get much better? Because it's like you hear tonight, and again, I know some of it is just podium talking points, but Steph is very clear in his desire that he wants to win. He obviously still wants to compete for titles, but he's basically saying, keep Clay, keep Draymond. Sounds like he's like, he's not necessarily speaking like somebody who's like, these are big, monstrous changes that need to be made. So where's the path for them to get much better?
There's one boring way. It's like Kuminga, Przemski, Trace Jackson Davis, and Moody. Like, that's like, can they get a ton better? They're probably not going to get that much better. They are what they are. They're pretty good. They're going to get a little bit better. They're not going to be like that number two. Like Clay right now is not even a number three scorer, I don't think. He's like a four. Like, you can get a little, you can get a two out night out of them, but you can also get a six night out of them. So
got zero tonight.
Got a 0 points out of him tonight. You just can't say he's a guy that was going to get 15 for you. You can't say that anymore about him. So who's that guy going to be? It's not Kuminga, Przemski, or Moody. So they do have to get somebody. I don't know how they're going to trade Wiggins. I don't trade Kuminga. Like, these are the things they have to think about if they get underneath the luxury tax far enough under that they can use the full mid-level. That's something, but you have to, that's basically cutting Chris Paul entirely and most of Clay. I don't know that they can do that. Or just have Clay walk. I think there is, again, here's me writing that I think this is setting up for Clay to at least be offered something for him to come back. And I think, the stakeholders believe that they can get him back, but for a lesser price. But also, okay, Clay walks, you get that money off. Like, wipe it off, and then you can use the full mid-level. I don't know who they can get for that, but you can get useful players for that number. Guys have come and really helped teams at that number. So, that's another one. These are not really exciting things, but that's where they are. They don't have exciting moves to make because they don't have their first-round pick, by the way.
Yeah.
Which now is going to be a pretty good pick. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like 11, right? 12, whatever it's going to be. Like that not a great draft, but you could have used that in a trade. You can't use that now. You know, there's some moves they made to get as good as they could in the moment. You understand them, but they're a little bit up against it. I mean, we'll be writing about this for many times in the weeks ahead. I don't really know what they're going to do. They always have a plan. They always have a sense of what they want to do. They could have traded Andrew Wiggins at the trade deadline. They chose not to. They could have just given away. Like, I think they could have just given him away. They wanted to be as good as they could be this season. I get it. He was good for some games, bad for other games. Maybe they can do that.
Truth is, look, I'll just say this. There was no Andrew Wiggins deal at the deadline that suddenly they were going to turn into the fifth seed.
You would have literally been trading him to get rid of the money.
Which, by the way, would be available this offseason too. Probably more avenues to it just because there's more flexibility for all teams in the summer. And maybe that is one of their answers, you know. I'm really skeptical on this team's ability to bounce back into title contention very soon for a long time, partly because when the Warriors won the title in 22, Steph Curry during that playoff run was best player in the world. Mm-hmm. Right now, I voted him third team all NBA, 14th best. I'm not saying I could hear the argument that especially on his best nights, he's still top five-ish. But over the course of the season, over the course of what we've seen in the last couple months, tonight, I know some of it is the surrounding parts, but, the way the Kings blitzed them and length was bothering him and Keon Ellis kind of got to him.
You said that he wasn't great defensively this season.
No, he wasn't.
He was not.
And that combined with the way they're kind of handcuffed financially and unless a big-time star becomes available, Giannis, whatever. I see them.
I mean, what do they even offer for that? Wiggins plus Kuminga plus Moody?
Plus the picks, and that's another star. Again, that's too ambitious of a name. So maybe something that I'm not foreseeing materializes out there, but honestly, I think they're going to mostly probably run it back. Work around the margins and be like a 5-6-7 seed.
Bucks thing just goes up in flames, which it could, would you trade Wiggins for Brook Lopez?
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just it's been done. I didn't want to. I was I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just it's been done. I didn't want to. I was I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Yeah.
That's a move, I think. That's the kind of move I think is most feasible for them. It's like somebody like that, older player, making a lot, but doesn't quite fit, but you like him, can shoot the ball. They got to get shooters. They've got to get shooters.
Yeah, but I mean, you mentioned like athleticism.
Yeah, no, there's an open there, right? You know, you're like, again, I'm not saying that everything's fixable.
For sure. But, yeah, like I do think there's probably a
I trade Wiggins for Brook Lopez. I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, you know, like Jared Allen before Jared Allen had like a blow up month or two. Like that was a name that I know that was
floating. I think they thought they could have conversations with the Cavs on Jared Allen, by the way.
Yeah.
But I was told that they could probably get a 7-footer at the deadline. I wasn't told who it was.
Kelly Olynyk didn't.
I thought it was going to be Jared Allen, but you know, again, he's not. They're not getting him now. But you know,
The Cavs thing might blow up. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Yeah, there could be problematic playoff situations, and interesting players could come available.
Maybe
they want Damian Lillard.
And again, maybe I'm not being like creative enough in my thinking. And who knows? The league always surprises us. But I guess my overall point is, like, these are very good ideas and names and these, like, mid-tier moves that you're talking about that I do think could freshen up the roster a little bit, change, like, kind of the mix. But in general, and it, by the way, this is fine, especially if, like, you want to ride it out with your core that's now, look, 36 and 34 and 34. I don't see this team being a 2-seed, a 3-seed, a championship.
Here's the big, you know, existential is, well, do you want to try to piecemeal together because that's what Steph Curry wants, or do you want to piss off Steph Curry? You don't want to do the second thing. Like, that's the most important thing. If Steph believes a couple of decent middling moves can get them into a decent shape and maybe still can make the big move, right? They're always thinking they can make the big move. You got to do that because you can't have Steph going, you know what, maybe you finish my career in Charlotte. You can't. Or, you know what, Wembanyama might be fun
there
to play
go,
with.
There you go. Yeah,
I mean, you can't have him do that.
That first comment wouldn't freak them out. The second one.
Yeah. You can't.
Charlotte, bro?
Yeah, you can't have him even start down that road. Mm-hmm. You just can't. Now, that doesn't mean championships. That doesn't mean whatever. But I think if Steph is adamant about this is the way I want it to go and I want to be a Warrior, you lock on that second thing. He wants to be a Warrior. He has to be a Warrior. What do we do that makes him comfortable being a Warrior? I don't think he's saying you cannot lose Clay. I don't think he's saying that. He's just saying I can't picture it. He's saying don't offer him something embarrassing. I think that's – I might be wrong. I don't think Steph is like – Clay just signed for – 2 years, $50 million, Orlando. Hell with it. I want out of here. I don't think he's saying that. He's saying do right by him, but that Clay will have a decision to make. So he can't picture life without Clay, but, you know, sometimes you have to make moves, and the NBA make moves. If they can present him with a plan with or without Clay, he thinks is better, I think you just have to do it because you cannot go down the road where Steph Curry wants out. You can't do that if you're them. And I'm not saying they're close to it, but I just think you have to think like that.
Yeah, and like everything privately, publicly that they say about it is like, you know, they still are in full like belief they want to build around Steph, and Steph will be here forever. So we'll see.
Well, it's again, it is the best way they can win. I mean, you know, at least for another year or two, it is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm certainly not arguing that like this other path they have out there that doesn't include Steph would, you know, lead them to a title in the next X amount of years. I'm just more like, I just think they're kind of, you know, they're stuck. Kinda,
yeah. And like many teams are. Like, yeah, you know what? This happens. Sure. This happens.
The team that just beat them tonight, by the way, is going through their own little, like, existential crisis of, like, are they bumping their heads on the ceiling? And they, you know, they look terrific tonight. They get a win. Maybe they'll get into the first round, whatever. But, you know, they have the Sabonis-Fox pairing that it's like, and that's a much younger, much less accomplished pairing that they're trying to figure out. Yes, like,
that still hasn't won a playoff series.
Yeah.
So, this happens. I think you play it out. I think you do. I mean, again, they can't spend like crazy on Clay or whoever, but they'll spend like crazy if they can get Giannis. They'll spend like crazy if they, you know, whatever. And They got some ideas, I'm sure. They had some ideas last year. You know, would Jordan Poole have been better on this team? I don't think so. He had a terrible year with the Wizards. I don't think he would have had a good year with the Warriors. There are probably a lot of reasons for that. So you get out of his. I think they would be worse off with Jordan Poole's money still on this thing. They couldn't and they can't get out of it. They can get out of Chris Paul. You know, so I think it's a creative front office. We'll see where they go. I think they have ideas. And, you know, in consultation with Steph Curry, we'll see what they can come up with. But I think it's something on the line of a Brook Lopez, a little somebody from Atlanta, you know, somebody like that. I mean, there's some decent players on bad
Clint
teams.
Clint Capella.
Yeah, there's some decent players on bad teams. And they just start, you know, they want to offload some of them. You go, okay, let's see what you got here. You know, the Timberwolves are going to have to trade somebody. Right, they're gonna have to trade somebody.
Towns, are you a Towns fan?
I don't know.
It's a lot of money.
There's somebody on our staff who's a Towns fan, and I go back and forth on it. But I take Naz Reid from them if I'm the Warriors. I'll take him in a second.
Did you see Joe Lacob tonight?
I saw him. I didn't, you know.
Yeah, interact. Yeah, he was fuming. First row. Yeah. I saw him pregame watching. I assume he was watching the Lakers Pelicans. The end of that, but yeah, it was a tough body language night for Joe.
$400 million
for the 10th seed, yeah, for an elimination,
for no playoffs, not even a home game in the play-in. You know,
for a 21-20 home record.
21-20 home record. This is a very disappointing season. It was a very disappointing season. 46 wins. I think they were a better team than last season. They just had weird stuff come up. Obviously, tragedy cannot be discounted, but. They're older, you know, they're an older team than last year. So the Kings are a younger team getting better, right? You know, those forces are in play. And now they got to figure out to get cheaper and better at the same time. It's a weird little thing they've got here. But they're a creative team. They're creative management. We'll see what they come up with. Joe Lacob is, you know, incredibly driven to be better, to be a championship level team. It's what helped drive them to four championships. They are far away from their fifth, but he will try to get there. He'll try to do it next season. I don't know how likely it is, but he'll try.
All right, we will see. Exit interviews tomorrow, and we'll talk more probably later this week. And you know,
yeah, our schedules just got freed up here. So Slater's might be.
I'm going to New Orleans. I'm going to go to Kings Pelicans. Yeah. I might be going to Kings Thunder.
All right, I will not be. I got 49ers draft now.
All right, talk to you all later.